am blessed to have a wife for 37 years who has stood by me when I shouldn't have been stood by. How many of you can relate to that, guys? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today we're going to part two. You know, I'm going to do a shortened version of this. Maybe not. But today we're talking about being a doer of what?
The word.
Well, that's what we say now. But when we leave those doors and get on the way home and your wife or your husband says something wrong with a little attitude behind it, are you doing the what? The word? How many things do we actually do that, you know, in 2020 hindsight, that really wasn't the word, was it? That happened to me one time. Well, lots of times. But just recently, and I realized, man, I missed an opportunity. I'm not going to tell you what it was, because that's between me and the Lord. But we always have these opportunities. And if we are busy doing the word, doing the word, doing the word, doing the word, it's just like the banker. They teach him how to detect counterfeit money by giving them the real thing. God gives you the real thing. He gives you the word of God. He gives you his own word. And you know what the word is? The word is God. He cannot change it any more than he can change himself. He cannot end it any more than he can end himself. The word is a living thing. It is God. And that word, when you agree with that word, when you take that word inside of you, it will germinate and spread its roots. It will reproduce after its own kind.
Yeah.
If you're hearing messages on the supremacy of Satan and how weak God is, you know what? That root's going to take, because you're hearing it and that's what you believe, because faith comes by hearing and so does fear. Can I get the ring out of there? You got it. Okay. Phil's on the job. Thank you, Phil. By the way, Phil, that was good this morning. And Seth, good choices of songs, and or whoever did that. That was orchestrated very beautifully. But are we really doing the word? When the rubber meets the road, and when the situations come into play in our life, and when we realize that there are things in play that we don't have any control over, you know what God watches over? He watches over his word, Jeremiah 1, verse 12. He watches over his word. And if we're doing the word, guess who he's watching over? Yes, God is watching over us. Let's get into our confession today, if we can. Let's declare this together. God, this word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, that's enough to get saved on right there. This word is God speaking to me. It's his life. The life is in the seed, and the seed is the word of God, Jesus said. So let's review. Last time we talked about being single-minded. And I want to hit that again just in way of review. In James chapter 1, verse 5, I'm going a little out of order here, Phil. I'm just trying to, sometimes you want to just keep up with the Spirit. I mean, he travels at the speed of light, so it's pretty hard to keep up with him. But James 1, verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many of you have been there? Let him ask of God who gives liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Is there any condition there besides asking? Okay. But let him ask in faith. Here's the condition. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man, not that man, suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here's the scenario. Wisdom. If you pray for something, wisdom or provision, whatever, it's not the thing that James is pointing out here. It's the principle. And he's saying, if you pray and ask God for something, but you know, but you don't believe you receive when you pray, you're double-minded. Because he said, look, he'll give it to you. He's already released this from his desk. And he says, if you ask, I'll give it to you. I won't find reproach. I won't find fault. I won't accuse you of anything. Look, it says, if a man commits adultery, he lacks understanding. Understanding and wisdom go so far together. Why would he want to not withhold wisdom from that guy? He wants to forgive him. God is a God who picks people up and puts them back on the track. If a thief tries to steal, he thinks it's because he'll wind up better if he steals. No, he won't. He's inviting people to steal from him in the future if the law of seed time and harvest, sowing and reaping means anything. He's inviting the devil in. The devil is taking notes. He's following you around. He wants to build a case against you to accuse you before the Father. You know, this might be hard to take for some people. But you know what? The truth will make you free if you receive it. And I'm not going to apologize for the truth. There's too much of that going on in the church. And this easy guy, I call it the no-fault gospel, where nothing is my responsibility. If something bad happens to me, well, God wanted this to happen. For some reason, he had to, you know, it's his mysterious will, past finding out, and I'll never know because I can't know the will of God. Oh. Or, and if it's not that, it's the devil that got into your life somehow. No, the Bible says that the law of binding and loosing is with us, not with God. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. There are things that God has placed under our dominion, under our authority. Really? I thought it was all God, like he's in control of everything. Well, what did he say? You ask, you knock, you seek, you pray, you believe, you put on the armor of God, you stand in faith. There's a lot of things. I could go by about 100 different things in the New Testament that he has placed under our authority. But if, and he won't just go like this, well, okay, you don't know any better, so I'm just. I'm apologizing not for the truth. I'm apologizing for what has been taught to the body of Christ as a rule over the last how many years, thinking that God teaches you through sickness. No. You may learn something, like the little kid. Mother says, don't touch that stove. And he said, well, mother turns his back and starts mixing. She hears a yelp. The kid touched the stove. Did he learn his lesson? Yeah, but was it his mother's will for him to get burned and learn that way? No. And it's not God's will that any of us suffer, it says. God didn't give you sickness to teach you or calamity or anything else. He gave you the Holy Spirit to teach you. And if that's not enough, I rest my case. It's when we deny the Holy Spirit and his operation in our life that we can get in trouble. He's there to help you. He's there to perfect you. He's there to bring remembrance to the Word of God so that you can function and be equipped functionally to operate in the kingdom of God. Amen? So that's the scenario. And why is this? So that you won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and everything that comes along. Why? Because you're doing what? The Word. You're doing the what?
The Word.
What did Jesus say? He said this. He who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the winds blew and the floods came, but the house didn't fall because it was built on a rock. Let's put that up, Matthew 7, Phil, Matthew 7, 24 through 37, through 27. Therefore, whoever hears. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. He doesn't even, go back to verse 24, I think it is, Phil. He says, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him. Now look at verse 26. He said, if they hear it and don't do it, he doesn't identify with them. He just says, they will be like a foolish. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man. And he says, they'll be just like a foolish. He does not identify with people who do not do his word. He will not back them up. That doesn't sound like grace. Oh, yeah, it is. It is. Because when you do his word, the grace of God is released and the floodgates of heaven open up. But if you don't do it, he won't respond to that. And here's why. Because he's not responsible for it. You are. And if you're not going to do his word and you're going to do your own, how many of you can say, I have always followed the Spirit of God. I have always followed every, I have always been in tune with the Holy Spirit. I'm a doer of the word. I have never, how many of you can say that? I can't. If you can say that, please stand so we can worship. We've all missed it. And we all have things come into our life. Negative things. Is there destruction going on in the church and the people of the church right now in their life? Sure there is. But he said, look, if you hear my sayings and do them, I will liken you unto a what? A wise man. What do you say? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask and I'll give it to you. How does he give you wisdom? He gives it to you through his word. The word of God is the change agent of the believer. Say that with me. The word of God is my change agent. You can look at it that way. The word of God is the change agent of the believer. Without the word, you can't do anything. Without the word, you can't know God. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I don't know God by what I see, by what I feel, or by what I hear. I know God by what he says about himself. Yeah. That's the only way we know of God. So why are we going somewhere else to find out about God here, God here? And we identify with God as working in our life by all of these outward circumstances. And all the time the Bible says, look, we have a witness within. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have an inward witness here. And I, with all the church that I had been in since I was 24, when I gave my life to the Lord, and I've been in many teaching, and a lot of it made sense, a lot of it didn't make sense to me. And I didn't leave bands. I was in a lucrative band, by the way. I was making a good living as a young man, as much of a man as I thought I was anyway. I was addicted to everything you can get addicted. I mean, I was in rock bands. You may be in a worse spot than that, but God put you. He picked me up. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing for anybody who has to say, ah, yeah. And that's about all I could do. Amen. And if he can do that with me, with some drugged out rock and roller who didn't know one day from the next, and oh, is it Friday already? Type of thing, to somebody who, then he can do it to anybody. Amen. If he can, sometimes, Keith Moore said this one time, and I heard him say this. He said, Lord, I'm just a hick from Louisiana or Alabama. He said, how come I can see this and all these theological giants can't? I mean, this is so simple. How come you showed this to me? And he said, Keith, I knew you would value it. See, he doesn't just share, and he tells us not to, cast our pearls before swine. He's not going to do it either. But if he knows that you will value it, if you're hungry and you're thirsty for him, for the bread of life, he's not going to give you a snake. If you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you some demon. He can't change his word. And he said, if you ask, I'll give it to you. It's as plain as that. It's when we doubt and don't believe that we receive one. See, you say, well, how do I do that? I mean, how do I know the will of God? His word is his will. And he just said, ask and I'll give it to you. Yeah. Liberally, generously, with cherries on top. Oh, don't limit it. See, that word came to me. It was for you. And it's not that you're not. I just see some really good things in your future, Riley, for you. And I believe in the next several months, things are going to happen for you that are going to click. Not every opportunity is of God. Don't be led by opportunities. Be led by the Spirit. And we be led by the peace of God. Ooh, let him be. And you'll know. You'll just know it. You'll just know it. Praise God. And that's not to leave out Liv or Sam either. I just didn't get a word for them. I'll tune in later. And I'll let you know. Praise God. God doesn't leave anybody out. He left the 99, right? He's so good. We sang it. I wrote something down. I heard Greg Stevens say this week. If you don't know these names, Greg Stevens is a professor. He's a Hebrew scholar. And he's a professor at the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland Ministries University. And he said this. God is good. We were singing that all morning. There were several songs. The goodness of God and how good he is in it. But then when we come down to it, sometimes do we really believe that? Do we get double-minded? And are we doing the what? God is good. What you do with these three words, God is good, will define your reality. Think about that. What you do with these three words, God is good, will define your reality. It will define the image you have of God. It will define the image that you have of yourself. Your mental perception of who you are is defined by your belief that God is good. You know, Oral Roberts got so much flack in the 50s and 60s when he came out and said, God is a good God. And they say, you can't just say that. He said, why not? Look at the Psalms, the goodness of God, the goodness and mercy, everlasting goodness of God. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He said, why not? He said, well, you can't just say that. People get the wrong idea. Well, what idea is that? Your idea? What's your idea of God? Well, he disciplines you. How does he do that? It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it tells you exactly how he disciplines you. He disciplines you with the word. This is a covenant that is entered into on a willing basis. This is a covenant of a willing heart. And if you're not going to listen to the word, if your kids don't listen to your instruction, they're going to get in trouble, right? Are you going to abandon them? No, you're going to help them out and so forth and teach them. But they didn't have to do that. They could have listened to you in the first place. And he disciplines us by the word. Paul said, the word that I wrote to you made you sorry, but, it worked godly repentance to you so that you turn. Mm-hmm. You got these? I will get to my message sooner or later today. Doing the what? First of all, we're talking about the middle part here is being planted. And I started, this is why I'm talking about doing the work. I started talking about being planted in God, being planted in the body of Christ, being planted in the Word of God, being planted in the kingdom of God, and being planted and so forth. This verse kept on coming over and over and over. Every time I was talking about being planted, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And I was talking about planted. You know what? Those who are planted in the word of God, those are the doers of the word of God. That's how you get planted in the word of God, is by doing it. It says here, it planted. It says in Psalm 91, I think it is, Psalm 92, verse 13. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You want to flourish in the courts of our God? You know, you don't have to be a stranger sneaking in some way to the back corner hoping nobody notices you. No, you can flourish. You can walk right into the courts of God as a child of the King. You are one of the kings that he's king over, because if he's the King of Kings and you're the king, one of the kings he's king of, right? We're in his royal order. You can, if you believe the word of God and doubt not, you will not be unstable. You will walk right into the courts of God, look him right in the eye without any inferiority, because that's what righteousness really means. Having no inferiority, because you know why? You believe in his goodness. You believe in his love. You believe that the favor of God is upon you, and he cannot depart from that blood. That blood is in front of, on the altar. It is looking and speaking to him every moment of every day. All through eternity, past and present. That blood is more powerful. It is the life of heaven right there. Someday, when the New Jerusalem and all of this is done, and there will be no more temple, we won't have to have any of that. We won't have to have that altar. It'll be all wiped out, because all things will be new. And God will be in the midst of us, loving us, talking to us, being a dad, being a good God. He said, those who are planted shall flourish. You know what flourish means? I looked this word up. Listen to this. It means to break forth as a bud. Oh, there's so much potency in you. There is so much dormant life on the inside of every believer. To break forth as a bud, to spread, to fly. Fly. That means to get up and over the things that are hindering you. You'll flourish in the courts of your God. It means to fly, to grow and spread. Do you know what? Want to know what the will of God is for your life? So you can be single-minded and not driven about like a wave tossed to and fro? Here it is. This is God's will, that you break forth as a bud, that you spread, that when you're planted, you're planted. Let's say you're a seed, and inside you is the life of that seed. Well, that seed gets planted in the earth. It's no longer with its buddies in the pea pod or the corn cob or whatever it is, or on the wheat stalk, whatever. Now you're alone. And you're in the earth. And it's dark. And it might be cold. And it might be moist and damp. And it's all new information to you. Right? Your surroundings are totally different now. But all of a sudden you begin to spread. What happens is the soil starts to break open the shell of that seed. And actually the seed dies. And what happens is it falls apart. The body falls apart. Then something happens. It starts to... the root system starts to come out and germinate and to tap off of the soil and say, I didn't know I could do that. And then something else happens. It's like, whew. Then the blade comes, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And it's like, I didn't know I could do this. Well, you could have done it all the time. But when you planted that seed, That's in the dark when you were confused and you didn't know. All you had was a little information. But as you meditated on that surrounding of the seed and the soil and the mixture of it all coming together, you didn't have too much to do with it other than the fact that you're created as a seed. You know, Jesus was the seed of Abraham. And he said, unless a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Yeah. You are designed to bring forth much fruit. Amen. You are designed to be so fruitful. That the fruits of righteousness, that when you speak, people will get saved. When you speak, people will get healed. When you speak, provision will come to people. These are the things that work in us. These are the things that the Holy Spirit bears witness to. It says in the back, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come up, and you'll be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Amen. So what do you do when you see somebody who's in a wheelchair at Walmart? I'll tell you, after service, Wendy, last week, Wendy and her husband, Ken, and Lori and I went out, and Abby, we went out to lunch, and Wendy started just witnessing to the waitress. And then we were on our way out. She walked up to this other guy and says, hey, did you know God loves you and he has a plan for your life? She just cannot, it is not okay with her if somebody is not saved. That's like Diane, Lori's sister. She carries around that book with a $20 bill in it, the Charles Capps book on healing. And she walks up, he's going through something, and she just gives it to him. Says, you know, God placed this on my heart. You know, it's a seed. All those seeds are going to bear fruit. And look what's happened. She's experienced, like in the last year, what, 3 miracles now? Yeah. Healing miracles in her life. She's reaping a harvest. A good one, too. Oh, D. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Of what? Righteousness. The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. We sang that this morning, that he deserves all the glory. John 15, you know, that he may be glorified, this fits right in. John 15 and verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me. What does that mean, abide in me? Live, dwell, reside in me. And I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do no, not one thing. If you abide, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. I think a sacred cow just fell over. That's what it says right here. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, what you will. And it shall be done for you. Thank you, Lynn. By this, my Father is glorified. Amen. That you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. It's just the word, the word. And then verse 6 says this. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into fire, and they are burned. Now, he's talking to people who haven't gotten saved. Right? If you want to lose your salvation, you got to work awfully hard at it. Because God's not going to let you go. He says, once they're in my hand, nobody can take them out. That covenant is so strong and so airtight that you were sealed Literally, when your spirit was recreated, it was sealed. If you go into, and I've talked to some Greek scholars, I read their writings and everything about what that actually means. Folks, you got good days ahead of you. And if you make mistakes, you got a good God and a good dad who can pick you up. He's paid for the right to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When Adam sinned, he couldn't just say, okay, Nix, King's X, we're going to do over again. No, because the devil was there, and the devil is a legalist, and he won that thing fair and square. Actually, not fair and square. He did it by deception. And the death process already started, and the authority was already surrendered. But the devil made a big mistake because he forgot that the dominion was still with man. That's why Jesus had to become a man, so he could defeat the devil using the dominion that he had given to man, defeat the devil on his own turf. Amen. And made you the beneficiary. You guys glazing over yet? I tell you something, this is exciting stuff. Because when you get down in the... This is not no fault religion here. This is the Word of God is a living thing. This is the reality. Amen. The Word is the one thing that will stand forever when everything, when the fire hits the universe, the world, and everything else is gone. But the Word of God will be standing forever. Jesus said, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will stand forever. He'll never pass away. And His Word, oh, put His Word in your heart and you'll stand forever. Amen. Through every trial, every storm. You know, people, they say, pray for good weather. We're having this thing. Just pray for good weather. Do you know, nowhere in the Bible do I ever see it tells us to pray for weather. The only example we have in the Bible about the weather is to talk to it. Jesus said what? Peace! Be still! Now there's a lot more to that than you see. Because Jesus, who is Jesus? He's the Prince of... He's loaded with it. He came loaded for bear. When he came here, he was loaded for Satan himself. Nothing was going to defeat him. Not this little storm, a microburst. That was a mega storm, but if you read it was a hurricane force winds that was ready to sink that boat. And what did he do? He opened his mouth and released what was inside of him was that peace. And it hit that storm and just destroyed it. Every atom of that storm just, and it had no authority. And there was a great calm. Amen. Speak the word and there'll be a great calm in your situation. Speak the word of God. You have, look, the fruit of the Spirit, if you look at it and really examine what it's saying in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, it's not just the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the recreated human spirit. See, don't pray for patience. You already have it. It's inside of you. It just needs to be developed. Oh, well, if God wants me to be patient, then He'll give me patience. So give me patience and give it to me now. Or else. Are you doing the Word at that point? No, if you're doing the Word, you say, patience, come forth. You can handle this. Let's grow it, prune it, develop it. Let's get this thing going. Love, let's grow it and prune it and grow it. Peace, let's grow it. These are fruit of the Spirit. You can't pray for a fruit that's already been given to you. Is God going to undo His whole word just to accommodate that? No. He's already given you. There are inward parts of your spirit, man, that are totally usable. Yeah. But who's got to use them? That was two of you. Thank you. But who's got to use those fruit? How about it? Okay, everybody say this. I will use
the fruit of the Spirit
that have been given to me.
That's all of them.
And there's not just the nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. He talks about the fruits of your righteousness. He talks about a lot of other fruit in the New Testament. So we've got to acclimate ourselves towards that. Planting of the Lord are those who do the word. A doer of the word is somebody who lets the word identify them. A doer of the word is somebody who allows his identity to be replaced with God's identity of you. We have a book out there in the lobby, and we have some more here. It's called In Him. It's a little book called In Him, and it tells you who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, all you can do in Christ, and where you are in Christ, that you are seated far above. Take that, devour it. Just that book changed my life in 1977. I don't know where I'd have been without that little book, telling me who I was in Him, telling me what I had in Him, telling me what I could do in Him, because I am in Him. Now, apart from Him, I can do nothing. Apart from Him, I have nothing. Apart from Him, I know nothing. And apart from Him, I am nothing. I can give you New Testament scriptures for all of those. But with Him, I can do all things. With Him, I have a treasure in this earthen vessel that is immeasurable by human terms. It's a treasure trove that doesn't have any dimensions that you can, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is that treasure? It tells you in the verse before that. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The ability to call light into our situation. God's power, God's glory, and God's life, God's blessing, and God's provision into our situations. We have been given that treasure. And that is immeasurable. Yes. Right, Izzy? Amen. Hallelujah. Having done all to stand, stand. And watch the enemy fall. Yes. Father, we just thank You for Your word. Oh, we thank You, Father, that we can stand. That we, as we just do the word. Do the word. Yes. Do the word. I'll close with this one scripture. Proverbs chapter 4. Starts in verse 20. My son, attend unto my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces, the issues, and the wellsprings of life. Jesus said this, out of your belly, your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. If you want to change the landscape of your mind, change the landscape of, look what rivers do. Look at the Grand Canyon. A river did that. You want to change the landscape of your mind and be renewed and be transformed into who He created you to be? Father, we thank You that there's more to this thing than just the new birth and water baptism. We thank You that the new birth was a door to the supernatural power of the Almighty God who is living in the church, living among us, living with us, loving us, encouraging us, picking us up, releasing Your grace and Your ability into our lives through Your word and through Your Spirit. Thank You, Father. Say this, I commit to be a doer of the word.
And not a hearer
only.
Deceiving my own self.
I am a doer of the word.
I am a doer of the word.
And I believe God.
And I believe God.
I believe in His love.
I believe in His love.
I believe in His goodness.
I believe in His goodness.
I believe in His power.
I believe in His power.
It's mine.
It's mine.
He gave it to me.
He gave it to me.
Along with His Son.
And His glory.
Father, I praise You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you, if you have never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you want it, if you've never spoken in tongues and you want that, that's a tool. It's basically a tool given to us. It's a supernatural one. The weapons of our warfare are not natural. They are Supernatural and mighty to the pulling down of the strongholds in your own mind. And they will break through that and transform. And if you want to taste and see if this is good, then I want you to come forward right now to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit.